grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 13.6, Monsters Aren't Real, where we are covering the novel Deadbeat. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Yabba dabba doo.
We'll have a gay old time.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 6. Harry takes the time to explain the supernatural world to Butters.
We finished off last time where Harry's like, he needs to talk or whatever, and Butter's like, do your worst. Harry's like, all right. So yeah, this is where we get that nice little moment, right? Didn't have time to grab his coat or anything, so Harry gets in the blanket, and while he's at it, might as well just grab my sawed-off shotgun just in case.
The Blue Beetle has definitely seen better days.
The Blue Beetle has always seen better days.
The trunk held by wire this time.
Right.
Yeah, that's rough.
Right. It's not even yet holding it together. What has he run into recently now? Is that still from, like, the chlorophene?
He mentions keep it in the trunk because I don't have a license and it's safer if it's just back there and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, but, like, keeping a shotgun in an unlocked trunk is not the safest thing that you could be doing, Harry.
Held by wire.
See again, this is the catch-22, I guess. I don't know if that's what I'm thinking. But on the one hand, who's going to rob or want or right? You're looking at the Beetle. I mean, you know, what is their worth stealing? You cannot fix anything on your car, keep your car running, right? This guy doesn't, I mean, it doesn't even have an interior anymore thanks to the, well, maybe now, I don't know if he's replaced it, but, you know, at one point, literally, it was like milk crates and plywood and shit like this or whatever, right? Oh.
Hey, does your model have milk crates inside of it?
Sure does.
Oh, that's yep. Fucking awesome.
Model is down to the
wow,
like, specific.
It's very roomy. Okay.
No, she means the one that not your model, not your crappy car that you beat the shit out of, but the Dresden mobile that you have. So yeah, so on the one hand, who's gonna bother breaking in? Like, yeah, again, and most of us, if we only had it held together with a piece of hanger wire, wouldn't put anything in there because it would be too easy for somebody else to steal, right? But at the same time, the Beetle being as unique as it is, for anybody that knows Harry, they're gonna know this is Harry's car, and you think they, you know, anytime they, right, like, let's see, what does he have in here, you know, like,
or they get worried it's worded.
Well, I guess that's
Harry's
true.
Car, right?
That's true. It. I was thinking about those that not even just the supernaturals, the muggles as well. But
kids want to take it on a joyride because it's unlocked and looks like shit.
Well, random cops who are just lurking, looking in the back
window. They're always looking for reasons to mess with Harry. Come on, there's a shotgun in here today. There's a shotgun in here today.
They're not allowed to untwist the wire and open the trunk, but they are allowed to look in the back window, and there are no leather seat covers to hide anything that you shove underneath the seat. And
so there you go. So maybe he's perfectly fine with a shotgun in the trunk of
from his cops. Everyone else can untwist the wire on a trunk.
How is this thing roadworthy, I wonder? Like,
yeah, no, Mike is fucking amazing.
That's my question. It's like, how is he not being pulled over, like, every day to be like, bro,
he didn't
fuck?
Say the seatbelts were missing. In fact, I'm pretty sure he still had the seatbelt, because wasn't that part of the problem?
It doesn't matter. When the fender's dragging on the ground, and you're missing tire rims.
That's what Mike is for. That's what he thinks. Mike keeps it running in condition, because, yeah, he's not driving. Yeah, every time, that's why he doesn't have it at the time. As soon as he beats the crap out of it and the fender's dragging, he's got to go take it to Mike again to...
When I hit a deer...
It's just, now it's the interior.
When I hit a deer, and, like, the whole front side of my car was just, like, slogging off of the frame... The cops still told me I could drive around in it, so...
Right, so there you go.
They clearly don't care.
Yeah, okay. For the most part, you just have to have a little accident thing. You have to report it, put the little sticker next to it.
They basically said, they're like, I don't know if the engine works. Go do whatever you want to do. And I was like, okay, it technically still goes forward, so whatever.
If you changed provinces, you would have to get an inspection done, an out-of-province inspection. I imagine the states is pretty similar, but...
Yeah.
He's been there for a while. He don't need to get it done again, I suppose.
Well, there is
that. Skirted that.
And like I say, I mean, you know... When he can have it running, he does need it running sufficiently to save his ass, as moments like this indicate. You know, he just had to very quickly get away from somewhere. So, yeah, all that stuff I see, like, I feel like there's enough of the roadworthiness of it. But, yeah, I like you say. With
I like that Mike just always gives him two bills. Not, he's like, enough to get it moving. And, like, if you ever just want to, like, you know, fix something... Here's the infinite
list. You know
list.
What? You'd think by now that Mike would start... I mean, again, I don't know what kind of guy Mike is and what kind of budget he operates on, but you'd almost think, right, that he may just go as the as-needed every time Harry needs... You'd almost think he'd start kind of a collection of with how often Harry needs stuff. You think almost by now he might be like, hey, I actually have a blue door for your blue... You know what I mean? Oh, right? Right? Instead of just having to be like, what's available right now? You'd think eventually Mike might actually be able to get all the proper
parts. He has a
beetle parts.
Collection graveyard. Harry will need this eventually.
Right, just exactly just every time, because we get that all the time.
It's an old enough car when it was still when the book came out.
Yeah, because he drives the old style. He drives like a 60s Beetle or whatever, you know.
I can't imagine that, like, 20 year old parts is still gonna be hard, especially in Chicago. Like,
I don't know,
it's one thing in the southern states where the weather is a little bit more temperate.
Yeah,
no salt on the roads, but Chicago still gets...
Well, and
enough,
maybe,
right?
Mike does get his parts from, because, like, I do remember that.
He's got, like, a secret source to, like, Mexico for beetle parts.
I was going
to
say, that was one thing that surprised the heck out. I cannot believe how many beetles there are around, like, Mexico and somewhat California and stuff like that. I was like, because, right, you don't see, I mean, you see the newer ones now.
I think they were in a production a lot longer, too.
Well, yeah, and like you say, just.
A summer car.
This weather, right? I mean, like, Harry jokes literally at the start of this chapter that the heater, you know, hasn't worked in this car since, like, 1989 or whatever, you know what I mean? So, yeah, obviously, I'm going to guess that's part of the reason why we don't see a shit ton of them up here in good old Canada all the time and stuff like that,
I'm
right?
I'm amazed when I see one now.
But there are so many there that he could just still be pulling parts from, because that's, like, again, right? And that's the whole point, is that he's, like... It's apparently a really easy car to fix and and keep on the right. So as long as, and I mean, we do that occasionally. Like I say,
built my tank makers.
Right. I work for an auto wrecker, and it's literally that, like, I will hear, you know, our salesman on the phone occasionally. Sometimes they're like, yeah, I don't have any in right now. You know, call back in like a week, because you never know what's going to get smashed up and brought in or be available or who's right. And I mean, there are times where obviously not as much. It's not usually economical, but we do occasionally buy parts from, and semi more frequently we will ship parts to. We will have people from the States call up, and we have a part that they can't get anywhere else, and they will have us send it down to them because it's nice. Hard enough to get a hold of or whatever that it's worth, I guess, the cost of, you know, a couple hundred dollars worth of shipping even to send stuff. So you know what, like, who knows, maybe Mike does just get shit all these, you know, mass amounts of beetles down in Mexico or something. Maybe he can just keep plumbing that, you know, that treasure chest full of, even if Chicago doesn't have a lot of parts on hand all the time.
Either way, Mike is a miracle worker.
Mike is a miracle worker, and yes, regardless of the beetles. So yes, shotgun in the trunk, whatever that means, obviously. Either that or Harry's just got an endless supply of, like, arms dealers where he's like, yeah, the shotgun got stolen again, I need that.
You know those restaurants that are like, oh, buy a piece of pizza for someone in need or whatever, and then their walls are just covered in, like, free coupons for pizza slices or whatever the hell, things like that. It's like, I feel like Mike should just have, like, a buy a wizard a part. He's gonna need it.
Donate to the Beetle Fund.
All right, I have a question about, feel silly asking this, but where he does grab the shotgun, he's like, I stored it in the event that I would need to give Napoleon's charging hordes a taste of the grape. Is a taste of the grape just referring to, like, is that not, like, what is that? I'm not familiar with this phrase. Is it just talking about shotgun spray? Or, like, is that taste of the grape actually something? I think I briefly tried to look it up, but I couldn't see anything very clear.
I feel like this, that is a term I have heard before. I cannot recall if it's specifically in
regards... Did I hear that phrase just from the books?
No, I feel like it is a thing, but whether it's like a general sort of... What's the word I'm looking for? Not idiom or whatever. Anyways, whatever a phrase that... Or whether it's like a specific quote of something. Are you Googling, Jess?
Only somewhat.
I mean, I did a very brief search. I didn't look too far.
Yeah. I bet. Well, and again, if you don't, like I say, yeah, I don't.
What's the wrath of the grapes about?
The grapes of wrath? Yeah, something different. Pretty sure that's about, like, pioneers in the Dust Bowl or something and nothing to do with Napoleon.
It's a description of bacon frying on a...
The Grapes of Wrath is a description of bacon frying?
I've never read it, but
neither have I.
A really big description of frying bacon that was like...
Oh, it's like a big part of
just
the...
Just giant okay. description of like making breakfast or something weird like that. I could be thinking of something completely...
You could be right.
I probably
never
am.
Read it either, and I could be...
I have this list of like classic books that I really ought to read, but...
I was thinking about
reading
that.
Really shitty Amazon finds from Kindle.
I was thinking about that just the other day, too. I can't remember what was... Again, probably some classic book mentioned or something. And I'm like, it's one of those things where my part of me is like, yeah, I kind of want to go and like read all... Like, again, things like The Grapes of Wrath and whatever that, you
the
know...
100 books you need to read before you die.
Catcher in the Rye and things like that, right? That I've like...
I have read that.
Yeah, see, I have, you know. And then part of me is like...
He's whiny.
But at the same time, I'm like, I know enough about a lot, you know, to get like the general gist or the references to and stuff like that. So part of me is like... Because some of them are like, I've read some Jane Austen and things like that, you know, but I'm like, I know there's a few of these ones that I would not enjoy for whatever reason, and not just because it's like the older, but you know, but I'm just like...
I think the pertinent classics would be the H.P. Lovecraft stuff, especially for...
Well, like, there's some kind reference of, right?
to stuff later on for...
But yeah, some of
the Void.
The dramatic...
Or even like the other podcast that we have.
Yes.
Is very pertinent. There's references to H.P. Lovecraft all the time.
But yeah, but my point is just that I'm like, I think some of them are like just whatever. They'd be like dramatic, depressing enough, whatever, dry enough or something like that, you know, that I'm like, I wouldn't sort of enjoy the content of them that way. So I'm like, why do I feel compelled to, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't actually have to read the, you know, they think there's this part of you that's like, you have to at some point read all these classics. And I'm like, no, why do I? I'm like, because again, most of the time, especially if I come across something that you don't, I'm like, you can usually look up whatever is being referred to or whatever. Or I'm like, again, familiar enough with the content of them that I'm like, I get the references of things. And I'm like, no, why make myself read all that and be like depressed or bored or whatever when I wouldn't actually enjoy the story?
That's how I feel about my coworkers all the time. It's like, you haven't seen Godfather, you haven't seen this, you haven't seen any Tarantino, you haven't seen...
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do I need to? I know all the pop culture. I can do...
Yeah.
You know, you come to me on the day, I know it. It's fine. I don't need to watch a movie. I've seen it.
Right, exactly.
The Simpsons has done it 20 times.
Yeah, right? I have already experienced it somewhere, somehow, yeah. That exactly, I don't need to watch the actual... Three, you know, fill in all the unimportant parts that haven't been talked about for the 20, you know?
I did mention when I finally sat down and read the actual Dracula, I was like, wow, I thought a lot more of it was people parodying it than, like, fully pulling legit references.
There is that sometimes, too, yeah, where you're like, oh, no, it was, but...
A grape shot is a collection of metal packed in together... fired from a cannon that is comparable to today's shotgun.
I think I've heard of that before, too. Once you said that, that's... Okay. That sounds much more familiar now.
Okay.
The specific phrasing came from something Napoleon said that got bastardized by the English,
yeah.
Trying to play it down and mock him, which is then further Harry has bastardized it even more.
Okay.
Jim Butcher has bastardized it even more.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, because I was like, I feel like, yeah, there would be some bit... Okay, yeah. There you go. The more you know. Whing, little rainbow star.
I do have to applaud Harry's resourcefulness to actually install cup holders into his vehicle. Good for you, Harry.
I mean, to be fair,
that is a duct tape mechanic right there.
In a car like that, you can't just drill anything anywhere. It's kind of easier at that point when you are dealing with basically a wagon with an engine.
He got jealous. I don't know at what point this is, but sure, whatever year we're on, surely the new Beetles are back around, right? He just got jealous of, like, they've all got little, like, potholders. And he's like, fuck this. I want one in my Beetle. Like, that's the one thing my... I do remember, it's funny, years ago at one point when my
Harry getting into other vehicles, your seats recline.
Yeah. You have seats?
You have sun visors?
Oh man, these things are posh.
Ebenezer's car probably doesn't even have a blinker or windshield wipers. If he's got like brand new spanking straight from the 20s, car.
The Ford, yeah, I don't know. You know what, that... I would think must have to be like an aftermarket roadworthy thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, like, even in a classic car.
Windshield wipers are a Canadian invention.
Uh-huh. And female.
Because we're fantastic.
I broke your brain.
You did. Yeah, I was going to say, if you were using it as your everyday drive, like, I don't know about some of these guys that go to, like, the car shows and you just have to drive it a few blocks to that. But I would think blinkers would be, like, a must have. Oh. Even if you had an old vehicle, I wouldn't think that
you... I mean, you're just supposed to stick your arm.
Which actually just happened. I was waiting to turn in here. I was making a left turn, so I was waiting for the oncoming traffic. And I literally was staring at these guys' like lights to see if they were... Because it looked like he was slowing down, but they're not blinking. And then I realized he was sticking... Obviously, his lights didn't work. He was sticking his arm out the window to indicate that he was going to be turning, and I didn't need to wait for him. And I was like, oh, shit, yeah. That's really actually funny that I did just have a guy doing hand signals today. But, you know, whatever. Dunno.
See it more often in bicyclers, but...
Mm-hmm. Cyclists, yes.
Bicyclers. The official Canadian term for it.
Right.
Don't come for me, Americans. You see how she pronounced CASA?
I am always a fan of your creativity. What can I say?
Yeah, that's the word.
See? So I just try to help you out sometimes so that you don't have to go through the other public humiliation. You know, I try and catch it here first.
I saw this thing on the internet and it was like, it's ableist or a similar word to be correcting people's grammars and spelling and tone because you don't know their situation and like their first language and their blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, no, my mom operates on them, but you should want to learn. How to do it right, though. I'm not being rude. You should just want to know this.
Yeah. And I mean, in all fairness, I do know what your situation is, so you have no excuse for it. So, you know.
I've been using the correct word in front of you your whole life. Figure it out.
Exactly.
Coming from the same woman who did not want to teach her children how to correctly pronounce basket or popsicle because she thought it was cute the way we did it.
For a brief time, I knew you would eventually learn and use the right one, and you did. It was while you were very small. I'm sorry, but when you have a toddler running around asking for a poxiful, it's really cute. Or
a pox upon me.
I'm just trying to curse her this whole time.
Or yes, giving each other rides in the Bastics. It was very cute. And yes, by the time you entered grade one and, you know, had to interact with the mass population, you knew what a popsicle and a basket was, okay? I did not, you know, leave
set
you until you
failure.
Were 30. That's why I'm just harder about everything else. I gave you your pass, okay? You had two fucking passes up until you were like...
Two.
Okay, so now we get into the lore, and there's a lot of what we already know. He doesn't drop too much that the audience hasn't gleaned from this point as well. But
yeah,
obviously
we
now
know most of this stuff, but...
But now we get to see it from the whole Butters point of view of being like, ah! And partially Murphy got the same sort of introduction through the Ogre and the Bridge.
Yeah.
Read Restoration of Faith. And SI, then, as we know, has dealt with its smaller things. And obviously, Murphy's been there with Harry, like, for basically every big case that
yeah,
he's had.
Yeah, Murphy sort of got an on-the-job tray, like sort of a hands-on, right? She learned all this stuff as she encountered it and things like
Alphas
this.
Alphas got their kind of on-the-job when some lady walked up to a bunch of college kids and was like, you want to try a new drug? You're going to go real trippy for a while.
Let me show you a trick.
Yeah, and then... Obviously, Butters has kind of been the harshest one so far, where the dead security guard wandering into his room. He did have that little bit of the vampire thing, but apparently, as we all learned from this conversation, even despite the fact that it was enough for his colleagues to think he was crazy, even Butters himself was like, I don't know what I said about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I said it, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. Like, there was something weird about it, but I don't know what.
I didn't say it was vampires. I said non-humans. It's not
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I wasn't committed to the supernatural in the way you are, all right?
Yeah, it was just something we... I mean, even Harry in one of his... Was it just with death masks? Or I don't remember, but his example where he's like... Nobody believed that these, like, wild, crazy mountain men existed until somebody slapped, like, a gorilla down on an autopsy table kind of a thing. Right, exactly, right?
But pretty sure that was this book.
Yeah, that's in this. That's an example he uses in this chapter.
Oh, okay, there you go. It's perfect. So, yeah, exactly, right? That's Butters' excuse of, like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, it still might be something we don't know, but that doesn't mean it's supernatural. Okay, I mean, yeah, that's
Butters is kind of on board, with the magical coming to Jesus. Or coming to magical Jesus.
Again, I'm trying to watch all of the original Doctor Who, and he's got his newest companion in for the third Doctor. Her name is Jo, and I hate her. I don't like her at all. She sucks. She's like the stupidest so far of all his companions. Oh. And like the most like...
She like the quintessential like damsel in distress, can't do anything for herself, too stupid to live kind of... I don't remember
it's
Jo very well.
It's not that exact way, but it's just like... I don't know, she's just, like, her questions are always just very, like, dumb. And, like, the doctor's very dismissive of her, too. He's just like, the fucking dumb, go away. Like, go be somewhere else. And, like, I don't know, it's hard to exactly describe her, but she's not growing on me yet. And she's there for, like, 3 seasons straight. And I'm like, this is too long for this annoying of a companion. I hope that you become cool. And I'm, like, halfway through her second season now, and I'm like, you're still kind of just, like... But she's kind of also there to constantly be like, why? Because all his companions thus far have been a little bit smart and been like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, sure. Yeah, this makes sense. Or, yeah, sure. Like, we're science people. And she's a zero science person. So she's very much just like, why? And anyways, most recent episode is that she's like, well, yeah, magic is totally real. If you're real, magic's real. And he's like, it's all fucking science. And she's like, it's not fucking science. Look at all the shit we deal with. And he's like, it's goddamn science. I can prove to you it's goddamn science. And then basically this magic...
Just imagine John Pertwee sitting there. It's goddamn science, okay? There's no such thing as fucking magic.
That's basically a direct quote from the episode, okay?
And yet, almost.
And essentially, yeah, then there's an episode where obviously everything seems like it's just magic. And he's like, no, it's just science that humans haven't figured out yet, okay?
Yeah.
You can do fucking force things too eventually if you guys just get better at science. It's not my fault you guys just don't know how to use the force and telekinesis. That's still science. You're just too dumb. Your species is just too dumb to figure it out. She's like, that's fucking magic. He's like, it's not. It's just science you can't do yet. But seems very much like this whole thing where Butters is still a little bit too,
it's
like
genetics and DNA and science. Yeah, right.
And Harry being like, no, we follow the laws of physics, but it's still definitely magic, bitch.
So it's like that, only exactly the opposite.
Right. And part of his, like, therapy session with Butters to be like, it's okay, man. Like, I get why you don't believe. You're not supposed to believe. This is a human trait. Yeah.
This is the power of denial.
Exactly. See,
and
it is
what we have counted on and...
We're profiting off of your ignorance and...
What's the word I'm looking for?
Denial.
Been ableist to this. They've been propagating...
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, let them build on that. They're like, yeah, we want you to believe it's bullshit. And like, yes, you just rationalize it however you can. Yeah.
Right. And in most cases, the more misinformation you've got, the better off we are. So one of the examples he uses is, well, you saw like me and Murphy were in some like doctored spoof video a few years ago. Like, we're two people that you know and trust, and you don't believe either of us that was legit and real. And he's like, of course it's not real. It was so grainy in this. And Harry's like, yeah, magic doesn't work in front of cameras. Like,
conveniently
enough. So conveniently enough, you can, like, write it all off. But...
Right.
I
And the fact that he's even seen corpses of vampires and is still just like...
That's the thing, is, like, Butters is
You went to the loony bin for that.
Deep in the denial right now. And, again, I give Butters credit, not insulting him here or anything like that. But at the same time, I'm also like, okay, Butters, come on. How many more examples do we need?
Well, I think this is one of the things I really like about this chapter and this book and Butters and stuff in general is that, you know, again, Harry Butch or whatever has poked at this the entire time since the inception of the, or since the first book and whatever, right? That exactly, it's easy because monsters aren't real. You're not going to believe it. There's always something to, you know, as a guy in a mask. But, and it's true, right? Because that is, as we've discussed before, exactly what we do, right? In the you know, framing of the book and everything like that, we're all like, of course there's magic, and of course this should, but again, right, in real life, I'm like, there's not a fucking, other than the fucking emotional vampires I have met and had in my life, but, you know, the kind is represented in this book, not so much, right, and of course there aren't, right? I like how Butcher does his own, like, I don't know, myth-busting here, right? Like, this is it. Like, he's laying out so much of both sides of the argument and saying why we do and still being like, I totally get it. And you're right. This is that and this is that. But this is also, right? So it's just like, it's both tearing down and building up his universe here, you know? Like, that's what I mean.
Part of
just
the
like,
problem.
Wow, there's no way to cement it than, like, try and punch your own holes, right?
Of
and
predicting then, his books or his futures or his
timeline. You
know, the timeline, the hints that he lays down is that it's
yeah,
like,
foreshadowing.
Okay, but there's 47 myths about this. Which one are you going with? Which one's yeah. real, right? What Shakespeare wrote is very different from what another author
And not to mention the cloak and dagger that the White Council's already been doing.
And obviously the things that they do too, right? Like, there's just so many times when I've been trying to look up a myth or something or prediction for this series, and I've been like, holy shit, like, would Butcher have found this obscure book or not? Would he have done on this website? Would he have gone through all these Wikipedia links?
Would he have bothered? Would he have been bothered? Good enough? He'd be like, oh, is this too obscure to make it work in a whole? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like,
right.
Okay, I feel very confident in Camilla and Dracula, but from there, what else was he, what else is he willing to commit to, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's just it, right? Like, it's, again, one of those things that gives you more respect for, you know, even if you can look at these books and say they're kind of fluff, you know, but at the same time, right, it's how much work he has put into that. He can sit there and be like, okay, well, let's try and rip this down. Let's try and rip that down. Let's try and rip this down. And you know what I mean? Like I say, kind of rip apart his own universe and find ways to still explain it and still make it believe, as opposed to just, we're never going to question this because I don't know how to answer it, or, you know, whatever, right? And I'm like, again, with other books that I've read where I'm just like, you know, again, like ones I've really wanted to like, and it's like there's just not, you know, even
too many questions, not enough world building.
Yeah, even within, you know, suspension of disbelief or what, you're just like, this sucks, I can't make it work, you know, kind of a thing, right? And here he's like, yeah, he's like, let's pull some of these threads, let's pull some of these, you know, and exactly, because so much it is exactly the rationalization we do and would do, and exactly, right? Because Butters is like, well, I'm willing to believe that people can, like, kind of sense or an ability to sense and affect their environment and think, right? Like, again, like, okay, do we know maybe there's something to ghost things? Like, there's so many ghost stories. What causes that? Or, you know, psychic things that, you know, seem to have, but is it all just coincidence or, you know, did something, right? But at the same time, you don't really believe that exactly you've got the power of, like, telekinesis or this or that, right? So I'm like, it's just awesome watching that level of how much we believe and how much we rationalize and how much, you know.
It is. I do like how he does, like you said, kind of build up and tear down his own world in that way, because it gives it a little bit more legitimacy too.
Yeah.
And there have been, yeah, several books where, I mean, even, you know, the Harry Potter series, which is still a children's novel and shouldn't be held up to the same standards necessarily as an adult novel, because children and adults are not asking the same sorts of questions.
Of course.
Yeah. But obviously, with how popular Harry Potter is and the fact that, you know, the entire audience is basically grown up in that, it is easy to look back and be like, wait a second, why didn't you just give the truth serum to fucking everyone?
Okay. Yeah.
Why did you just give a time turner to a child instead of telling her, don't take as many classes? Why? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a certain point where it's like, okay, but at the same time, it's like, well, novels need things to happen, and Harry Butcher is quite good at giving it a good enough solid foundation as to this is why things had to happen this way.
Yes.
It's not just for the plot, okay?
His
arm is broken and his car was stolen and his cat died and his, I don't know.
Well, exactly. Right. But I mean, like, even like Harry and his potions and things like that, you know? Like, even in the beginning when he first starts doing them and he talks about all the failure ones, right? So he's like, it's not just as easy as putting together a potion to do everything and make me invincible all the time. Because there's limits to this. Like, again, like, ingredients aren't easy to get, or the side effects aren't, or this, you know what I mean, or my skill level, right? Where exactly it gives you a little bit of those, exactly, like, why do you just give the two serum to everybody, Harry? He's like, okay, but this is why. You're kind of like, okay, that's kind of a legit reason for why, as opposed to just like, sure, or the whole, like, we're just gonna ignore.
You were just too lazy to go milk a unicorn, that's not good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he does keep track of certain things too, like the handkerchief with the light in it, that he was,
yeah,
he just wasn't able to do it again because he just was
not happy
enough to.
Yes, and right, which makes you go, okay, thank you, you haven't just painted yourself into a corner or forgotten about this, or because I get to a large degree, right? And especially with series that go on longer, you know, like, yeah, of course, us rabid, crazy fans that have nothing better to do than reread it a million times, right? Authors and TVs, they don't always have, they will forget sometimes, potentially. Also,
it's
right?
part of the benefit of the fact that we've got a near 20 book series plus countless of extra content that he can make his world as intricate as possible.
There is.
It also makes it harder for him because now he's got so much possible lore that's like, fuck, I can't step on my own toes here.
To keep, yeah, yeah.
He's probably got a, like the Bible like of the, well, the universe well, like next to him when he writes.
So, I know
like,
for I a fact that the cast of Critical Role is always on their own wiki because they're like, we don't fucking know. It's
yeah,
been like
yeah. what
thousands and thousands of hours. We don't know our own shit, right? And there was a fan-led Crit Role stats and they only just shut down at the beginning of the year. But since for the last 8 years, out of their own manpower, they've been counting every time a 20 was rolled, every time a 1 was rolled, how many every single person did.
Yeah.
They literally, like, staticized the entire show. They've got, you can look up anything you want from them. And they only just shut down in the last year because, like, it's too much for us. We're moving on to bigger projects and things like that, blah, blah, blah. And I know the cast themselves would be like, I don't know. Let me look on Crit Roll stats. They're going to know. Like,
mid-episode.
They're like, let me just Google this thing about my character. So I have to imagine, like, authors like Jim Butcher or other things are just like, let me just hit my own wiki. What the fuck did I say? I don't have time to go through my own book or... Did I write that in a novel? Did I write that in a short story? Is that like...
Well, exactly, right? Like, yeah, even, you know, we like even like this. I was like, oh, yeah, it's one of the books he... Oh, yeah, it's this book, right? In this chapter. That's where, you know, yeah, I read it somewhere in here, you know, exactly. So, yeah, I was going to say he does do a nice job that way of very rarely, you know, skipping over, fumbling, like... Like I say, even just in some of the stuff I've been reading, you know, where I'm like, I'm pretty sure you said that was the older brother at the start of the book and it's the younger brother by the end of the book. And, you know, like things like this, right? Like there was something else just in one of them where I was listening and I was like, no, that wasn't that, that was, you know. And
I said it before, but Rick Riordan kind of does, he backs himself into a corner with his short stories or things like that. Mm-hmm. Like he writes a lot of the time. He's like, I wouldn't see them for 4 months. And then like 10 years later, he puts out a short story that was supposed to happen in the middle of that 4 months. And it was like, oh... Nope, they supposedly didn't see each other this whole summer. That's why it was so great when they came back together again after
each time apart. That might have been one of the most recent ones was like a time thing like that. It was like, I thought you said this was what?
Right?
What are we? Yeah.
He did that several times because I read almost the entire Percy Jackson series like all in a row. And I was like, whoa.
I know
these books were written 10 years apart, but timeline-wise, they were like a week apart.
These
characters don't know each other yet or they are... busy off on the other side of the world doing this other thing. Writers, I find Jim Butcher is a little bit like, first of all, everything happens in Chicago. Percy Jackson, they're literally traveling the world constantly.
Yeah.
But at least Harry's a little bit like, yeah, I've got multiple friends and they're all doing their own thing, but I'm always on the case, even if I'm not doing a big case, okay?
Yeah.
So I can always have a weekend where I'm doing something, okay? I didn't have to tell you my whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
For Butters, that does mean there's a little bit of the whole, like, it's not... That's almost not fair. Like, how is he supposed to know what is and isn't real? It's like what we're all dealing with AI now. He's just like, well, what? And Harry's like, that's ridiculous. That's never going to be a thing. And the other time, Butter's like, well, what the
fuck? But I'm supposed to believe this? Yeah, exactly.
So, I appreciate this chapter, but I do think it's a little bit, like, there's nothing really new to us as the audience. It's just kind of fun to see Butter's reaction to it all.
It's, and yeah.
Harry's comfortingness about it, how he's trying to do this as... nicely and as gently as you now can in the aftermath of something that was very not gentle and nice.
Gently but firmly, you know, like, okay, you need to understand, I'm not going to let you just sweep it under the rug, but exactly right, finding those ways to make it make sense to Butters and to poke the holes in his theories and, you know, and yeah, poor Butters. I mean, all in all, takes it like a champ. Right, but it's funny that, you know, as Harry even points out, he's like, look at how hard you're fighting me as we have this discussion after all, you know, and but.
Well, he even goes so far as, like, Harry goes so far as using statistics, like, with the, like, using his, like, class, graduating class.
Yes,
how many people disappear,
right?
And then it just happens to be the same amount that wild predators take out in a herd in an African savanna.
Right. And like, okay, I haven't looked this up, but if these are, you know, like actual stats, this is the other thing I love about Butcher, that you can like take these random stats that do exist in our world and just put that little twist on them that makes you go, oh, book.
Correlation is not causation. Unless you write a book about it where it is.
right. But yeah, exactly, right? Like those things that just make you go, oh, dude. Right. Oh, yeah, there you go. Biologists scoffed at the tales of wild beastmen living in the mountains of Africa, despite eyewitness testimony to the contrary, and pronounced them an utter fantasy right up until someone plopped a dead mountain gorilla down on their dissecting table. But, yeah.
What is that statistic about the animal disappearing? I feel like we should just be able to confirm that. 900,000
out of 500 million.
Yeah.
Or what, disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, how many were in your graduating class?
Or 800. 50 out of 800 is probably the easier number, because that's what he equates to the
class. Yeah, check with the FBA. That's
but that's also in 20 years.
I don't know what to Google to find that.
So Butter starts to get on board, at least a little bit, enough to be like, well, somebody needs to do something about this and go on TV and tell it everybody. Which he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been twice.
It's been done.
And how well does that work?
I'm being sued for it.
And Butters finally just admits that he didn't want to believe because he just doesn't want to. Like, it's scary. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you rationalizing this so hard? Why are you coming up so hard with, well, because it's fucking terrifying is the alternative. There's just random shit out there that can do whatever the fuck it wants, whenever the fuck it wants, based on a whole other different set of rules that may or may not apply, give or take.
Well,
the time of day or the placement of the moon or the year you were born, you know, like, what the fuck?
I think it's really funny that, when Harry starts to try to explain necromancy, and we move topics, like, okay, yes, magic is real. Now we're going to talk about necromancy. How easy Butters is like, that's not real. He's like, really? Come on.
Just went through this.
What did we just talk about?
Right?
See? The power of da-da.
Right. Yeah, but that was that. See, this is, again, like me in algebra. Like, okay, I understand that X plus Y equals Z. I have no idea what M plus N equals, you know? I'm like, that shit's just beyond me. We got to start all over again, you know? And it's like, okay.
And now we get to the information that we don't know, which is, how do you rule zombies? How do you be a necromancer? What is the workings behind that?
Yes, I like this. I've heard stories they can inhabit corpses with their consciousness, possess others. I've even heard they can bring people back from the dead. Jesus, Butters swore. I kind of doubt that he had anything to do with that one. I know what you meant. It was a joke, Butters. Oh, right. Sorry.
Yes. Jesus. Yeah, I don't think they had to do with that one.
I put this in my notes, but have you guys ever seen that Easter... Like, there was a meme that was out, and it says, Jesus was not a zombie. He was not a mindless, nor did he consume anybody, nor was he a ghoul or a wit. Although his soul and intellect were intact, he was not rotting corpse. He was not a vampire. While he transubstantiated wine into blood, he never drank it from a person. Jesus was not a ghost or a wraith. He was corporeal and still had his wounds. It is clear Jesus was a lich.
Yes, I think I have seen that somewhere.
A lich.
Maybe you sent it to us. I don't know.
Is created when a powerful magician or king striving for eternal life uses spells or rituals to bind his soul to his animated corpse and thereby achieves immortality. Liches are depicted as being clearly cadaverous, their bodies still bearing the wounds they receive before their death. Liches also are often have the power of necromancy, which allow them to bring the dead back to life. Jesus was a necromancer?
Pretty. I mean, if you want to get down to Barris, yes, he could raise people from the dead. That's the whole...
Or at least himself.
That's that whole passage, though, made me think of that one. I was like...
Guys. Jesus was Jewish.
Yes, he was.
So, essentially... Zombies can be controlled through their heartbeat. If you are able to simulate their heartbeat, then when you give them commands...
They still think they're living.
They think that those thoughts are their own and those wishes and wants are their own. Which is a cool concept. Uncool is that they do not need the heartbeat to continue on being animated. They just simply need the heartbeat in order to think that what they're doing is of their own will.
Right, which makes them very dangerous.
Right, so... Essentially, you can raise them and then just leave them to do whatever the hell they want, which is not great.
Just to be mindless zombies that will munch on people, or...
Good thing is, you can take them out. Like, you can't take out any regular human, any regular person walking around. An axe, or a car, or fire. Apparently, guns and baseball bats aren't good enough, though. It has to still be high damage.
Yeah, yeah.
Massive trauma mm-hmm. is what does
a little bit more massive than just your regular human being once, yeah. But other than that, the same principles, just on a higher level.
Yeah, just really, really try.
Just, yeah. So,
Is it like all the zombie versions? It kind of like seeing this one makes me want to like go through and watch all of like the classic to contemporary zombie movies just to see sort of like
Walking Dead and X and whatever else there is.
I still have no desire to see Walking Dead, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the theory. I'd rather watch. I'd rather it's like classic.
Far into it, and then I just like meh.
Yeah.
Lost interest.
Yeah.
So Harry also gets this whole, I'm not like Ravain. Has nothing to do with me. Yeah, sure, he's fine. A wizard. But, like, don't fucking compare us. Okay, he's an evil wizard, and I don't want to be on that same level. Yeah. And then Butters is like, all right, well, he also said you weren't a warden. What's a warden? He's like, they're, like, wizard cops. And Butters like, well, that's a good thing. And Harry's like, no, fuck those guys, too. It's like, we don't like the wizard cops, and we don't like the necromancers, okay? And Butters is like, okay, I'm with the crazy conspiracy theorist wizard who doesn't want to align with anyone. Awesome.
Yes, that is the only side that is right. Because none of them can look after shit. It all comes down to me. Yeah. I will handle it all. Just trust me.
Okay. Yeah, which is a little bit, you know, like, okay, I'm not sure the vigilante is the team I want to be on right now.
Well, and the catch-22 is that Harry can't actually tell Butters why he can't go to the White Council because of Mavra.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it was an option, he can't.
Yeah. This is what happens when you get indoctrinated by the vigilantes, though. That's the team you're on, Butters. You want to know about this shit the other way? You should have got one of them.
I imagine that's got to be, like, as we've said 1,000 times before, you don't know until you know, right?
It's
like
yeah.
So often when Harry finally does lay down the law, and they're like, are we allowed to switch teams now that we know the options?
Nope. Well, I need to sign the clause first.
I love Harry, but I feel like every now and again when he finally does tell them exactly what's going on in the world, I'd be like, are you really like the safest team for me to really like side myself with?
Yeah. Yeah, but he gets the whole thing. Yeah, tells them all about Kemmler and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And so even Butters is starting to get the concept that if this guy gets his hands on this thing, it's not going to just be bad. It's going to be like, this is already where he's at now. Oh, he's talking about orders of magnitude above that. Yeah, I don't really know what that would be. I don't know if I can comprehend, but I'm thinking I don't want that to happen.
Well, and Gravain is the first we've met, but Harry's aware, like, it's disciples of Kemmler. He knows there's gotta be.
You think there'll be more?
So, if this is just,
I guess it's not. We know Mavra and Gravain.
Right.
But, so, yes, right.
Just already knowing, Harry's just like, okay, and I have to go meet more people like this? Awesome.
Oh, goody, goody.
Yeah.
Fun's just starting. Yeah. I'm sure these are the absolute. I'm just meeting them in order to. So, Mavra's at the top.
Gary, yes.
And then so, I'm sure they'll just. Yeah, I'm sure the others will just.
That's
be.
Always how villains are introduced in books and movies and television.
That's right. Harry is always, every time, he's like, oof, I've already met the baddest of the bad. It can only get, you know.
Yeah.
It'll just be the peons after this. But it'll be fine.
It is always kind of amazing just how much more powerful every single one gets.
We're going to get to the very last book in the novel, and it'll be The Shadow Man Has Returned!
It's like he's been taking all of this time to just slowly, you know, build on, like, every single thing that the...
So then finally, Butters also is like, well, how come zombies are, like, so useful? What the fuck? They should be all mindless, whatever. And Harry's like, yeah, why would people even bring them back if they're useless? They'd be like, okay, fine, fair enough, but...
Why are they all depicted like that, then?
Which, yeah, normally when they're depicted, no one's controlling them. No one's brought them back to be servants. They're just coming back on their own, so they can be useless.
I'm supposed to believe all this fictional stuff is real. Then why isn't the fictional stuff accurately portrayed? Come on, what? You can't have it both ways. Which is it?
Well, yeah. So, yeah, very, very rude and offensive here, Jim Butcher.
Right. It's almost like somebody just makes it up every time they go along and takes whatever bits and pieces they want and then just throws in their own. Like, I tell you, man. No wrong reason. Fuck those guys. Fuck those guys.
Butters is also bewildered that the White Council will really, like, likely not help regardless, and that, like, the cops can't stop them. So if regular people can't do it and the cops won't get involved, who the hell's going to stop them?
It is a very, like, poignant ending to the chapter, and I do like how Harry's got this whole, you know, I'm the heroic and I'm going to do it, and this sort of, obviously, as we've been seeing, building identity for him. But it's like it's been well established thus far in just 6 chapters that the wizard cops don't like Kemmler. They don't want his disciples to be hanging around. Every single wizard cop possible did want to stop him. Sure, there's a war going on with the Reds and they don't have the manpower they once did. But it seems a little bit like Harry to be like, they fucking just won't anyways. They're busy doing other shit. To be a little bit like, okay, but some things are worth it, okay? Wizard Hitler is not
like
back.
Some of the other ones were exactly, you're right.
It's like Harry, you started a fight with the Marcone or Bianca. That's your shit to deal with. This one seems a little bit like, okay, we don't have many resources to pull from, but surely it's worth it to figure out now. And Harry's being like, man, fuck them. I started a war. They have to go deal with that now.
I just solved this war on my own because they fucking suck.
Okay, we've just spent the rest of this episode talking about like how much he doesn't paint himself into a corner, how much he has a good explanation for everything. You can't just go and start like shooting holes in it now, okay, Jessica? This is, we just said Butcher doesn't do that. On the whole, he builds everything up really well.
Which again,
now we have no excuse to involve the wardens, and so we're just going to pretend that this war thing is bigger than
I'm saying the wardens absolutely have a good excuse. They are too busy. Harry being a little petulant or just like being like, they're fucking busy, blah. They wouldn't help me anyways, even if I... It's like, but then, okay, but...
That is also... Yeah, but yeah.
Harry's the one who should be a little bit more compassionate for their situation here.
Yeah, well, and at the same time, he can't anyways, so he's just making excuses because he doesn't really... He can't tell about
can't
it
tell
or
anyways, yes.
As someone who is feeling very petulant about, you know, certain... I'm like, I do kind of get it too, you know, that I'm like... I know logically it should be this and you should be the bigger person, and but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. I get it. Not that I'm having issues at work again. That's fine. That's, yeah. Everything's great.
Awesome.
There.
Good.
Yeah.
So yeah, Harry to the rescue. No need to worry, Butters.
Yeah. It's fine.
He's got this.
Yeah. It took the entire fucking, like, not even just all the wardens, but like he said, like when Bob, Butcher Butters Bob was telling him how it took like the senior counsel. But Harry's like, it's okay. It's just his students. I got this. Yeah. It's not him. It's just the
wizard Hitler versus every single wizard on the planet, or all his students versus me. Basically, exact same fight.
Exact same fight. Totally.
Not a problem.
It's fine. We got this. And I got this, you know, Emmy that just newly encountered all this. That will be a ton of help. Like, what more backup do I need?
This concludes our episode 13.6, Monsters Aren't Real. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and mcinallys.ca. There you have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.